Freedom is that iconic part of being an American. You and I live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. You and I love freedom. But did you realize one of the most important aspects of our freedom is the religious freedom and the religious liberty that is ours as the followers of Jesus Christ? You see, there are recent events that have happened in our world that actually have scared me and bothered me to the very core that connects with this topic, and it's the reason that we're going to talk about this today. You see, one of these events occurred right here in the state of Texas at the First Baptist Church of Sulphur Springs on November the 5th, 2017. The one-year anniversary is tomorrow. 30 miles east of San Antonio, 26 people were killed. Of those 26, 10 were women, 7 were men, 7 girls, 1 boy, and 1 unborn child. There was a guest preacher there that morning. The visiting pastor that day, he died with 8 members of his family. And all 26 of those people died for one reason. They were worshipers. And then we had the events of this past week, this time in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This time the tragedy happened at the Tree of Life Synagogue in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood of Pittsburgh. 11 people were killed, 7 were injured, and they were killed for no other reason than they chose to be a practicing, worshiping Jew. Now I say this to you as my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ today, those two events, along with many other things happening on planet Earth, should shake us to the core. You see, those events revealed to me, and I think they ought to reveal to you, that we take for granted the freedom that we're given even to come here today to be worshipers, even in this very room. And for that reason, it's important for us to break away from our ongoing sermon series. We've been in it now for 10 straight Sundays. The title of that series is Times Change, But People Don't. We've been studying the life of David, but we're not going to do that this morning, because today I really believe with all my heart that God has led me and us today to talk about freedom, to talk about religious liberty. Now, another word for religious liberty is the term liberty of conscience. And so I want to start today by asking, what exactly is liberty of conscience? What exactly is religious liberty? And here's the best answer I can offer us today, is that religious liberty is the belief championed by Baptists that holds to this fact, that individuals have the right to voluntarily choose in areas of religion and worship. The choice to be here today should never be coerced or forced by anybody else, and it should never be prevented by anyone else. And we as Baptists hold to this belief because the consistent witness of Scripture is that God's invitation is freely given to you and me, and it's freely accepted by us. Now, in 1963, Baptists were talking a lot about our doctrine and our beliefs. And we produced a statement of faith that we lovingly know now as the Baptist Faith and Message. I have a copy of this little booklet. If you'd like one, you let me know. I'll get plenty of copies for everyone if you want it. Now, all the Baptist Faith and Message is a summary of what we believe God's Word teaches. We don't believe the Baptist Faith and Message is above the Bible by any stretch. We simply say it's a representation of what the Bible says. And in the Baptist Faith and Message, in Article 17, it lays out a summary of what Baptists believe, what you and I believe about religious liberty. And I've put it on the screen so that we can simply read along together. Here's what it says. Here's what we believe: that God alone is Lord of the conscience, and He has left it free from the doctrines and commandments of men which are contrary to His Word or not contained in it. It says church and state should be separate. The state owes to every church protection and full freedom in the pursuit of its spiritual ends, and providing for such freedom, no ecclesiastical group or denomination should be favored by the state more than others. Civil government being ordained of God, it is the duty of Christians to render loyal obedience thereto in all things, not contrary to the revealed will of God. The church should not resort to the civil power to carry on its work. The gospel of Christ can contemplate spiritual means alone for the pursuit of its ends. The state has no right to impose penalties for religious opinions of any kind. The state has no right to impose taxes for the support of any form of religion. A free church in a free state is the Christian ideal. And this implies the right of free and unhindered access to God on the part of all men, and the right to form and propagate opinions in the sphere of religion without interference by the civil power. The most important phrase I've just read to you today is a free church in a free state is a Christian ideal, and somebody ought to say amen. So that's what Baptists believe. It's what Baptists have proposed into the world's religious discussion. And so the question today is, where do we gain those ideas? Where does it all come from? Well, folks, the answer, it comes from the Bible. You see, Baptists believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior first, and that God's Word, the Bible, is the sole written authority of our faith and practice. And in that Bible, it simply teaches that Christ came to liberate people from bondage. It says it in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom, it says, that Christ has set you free. But beyond that, there are two passages that Baptists go to when we begin to talk about religious liberty. And the first one is Daniel chapter 6. Don't turn there, I'll just tell you the story. We'll turn to the second passage. Daniel chapter 6 is a story that you already know. It's the story of Daniel and the lion's den. How many of you know that story from childhood? The specifics of the story that are pertinent to our discussion today are these, that King Darius threatens Daniel and all of his buddies with death in a lion's den if they pray to any god or man other than King Darius himself. Well, liberty of conscience kicks in. Religious liberty kicks in, and Daniel refuses to let the state dictate the nature, the content, or the timing of his prayer life. In other words, Daniel is determined to be free. He boldly continues to pray to his God. He boldly continues to praise his God. Daniel had a spirit of freedom. Friend, Baptist adopted that spirit of freedom. Daniel chapter 6. But then the passage I want you to turn to today is Acts chapter 5. Take your Bibles today and go with me to Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Here the high priest and the Sadducees were jealous that many signs and wonders were being done among the people in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's where we pick up the story with our New Testament ancestors as they refused to be silenced. They chose freedom. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, I'll be reading from the New International Version. Here's how it goes. It says, "Then the high priest and all of his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and they put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and he brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, the angel said, and tell the people the full message of this new life in Jesus Christ. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told, and they began again to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and they sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, 'We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside.' On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. And then someone came and said, 'Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people.' At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. And having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. 'We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name,' he said. 'Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, and this is the whole reason I've read all of this. They said this, we must obey God rather than men. In other words, the authorities put the Christians in prison. After being released by an angel in the night, they continued to teach. When given specific instructions to not do it anymore in Jesus' name, they said, no! We are choosing God's will over your will, and we will not be dictated unto by any man what refutes the will of God. In other words, we are free. Freedom. You see, no one tells you when to worship, and no one tells you you can't worship. Put up the next screen. There are some of you that are going to want to do some additional study into this discussion this morning, and I'm just going to throw the verses on the screen. Because if you want to talk more about the Bible stance and direction in religious liberty, then these are the ways to go. If you want to make it really quick, do like the young people do. Take your phone out right now. Take a picture of the screen. Make your life a whole lot easier. Amen? You need to read Genesis chapter 1, 27, 2, 7. You need to go to Matthew chapter 6, John chapter 8, Acts chapter 4, Romans chapter 6. Go to the next slide. Galatians chapter 5. Philippians chapter 3, 1 Timothy 2, James 4, 1 Peter 2, 3, and 4. Friend, the Bible is rampant with discussions about freedom. I'm so thankful for history. Because not only does this Bible fill itself with words that inspire us and guide us in areas of religious liberty, but I'm thankful that Baptists took this word and actually put it into practice. Let me tell you some history. Let's go all the way back to the year 1608 and 1609. In 1608 and 1609, the first Baptist thinkers emerged. Their names were John Smythe and Thomas Helwys. There is a Baptist printing company today known as Smith and Helwys. All right? These two men cried out against the government-led Church of England. They desired religious liberty. They desired the separation of church and state. You spring forward 2 years to 1611 into 1612. Thomas Helwys wrote a work called The Mystery of Iniquity, and he sent it to who? King James I. Yes, that King James, the King James Version of the Bible. And basically his work, The Mysteries of Iniquity, stated that Christ was the head of the church and not the king. Helwys was promptly thrown into prison where he later died. Friends, he was a martyr for religious liberty and he was a Baptist. Spring forward to the colonies in the year 1638 and 1639. Roger Williams was exiled because of his views on religious liberty. He established the colony of Rhode Island as a place of religious liberty, and he provided religious coverage and freedom to Baptists and Jews and every single religion available. He established the very first Baptist church in America, the First Baptist Church of Providence, Rhode Island. Friends, it really was the first Baptist church. And then spring forward to 1780, 1770 into 1780 in that decade. Isaac Backus and John Leland fought hard for religious liberty in the colonies, and they lobbied the Constitutional Convention, and they persuaded none other than James Madison to include the very first amendment in the Bill of Rights. Do you know what it says? Look at your screen. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Friend, when you trace it all the way back, there's no other conclusion than to understand that Baptists are solely responsible for the establishment of religious freedom and the separation of church and state in the United States of America. Praise be to God for Baptist thinkers that went ahead of you and me. People have fought hard for freedom. People have fought hard for religious freedom. They fought hard to make sure we weren't threatened away from worship. They fought hard to make sure we were free to worship without government involvement. Let me tell you a story from 1651. In 1651, a pastor named John Clark with two Baptist laymen, their names were Obadiah Holmes and John Randall, they went from Newport, Rhode Island to Lynn, Maine to visit an aged and blind Baptist friend named William Withers. It took 2 days to make that trek from Rhode Island to Massachusetts. And in the midst of the service, on Sunday as they arrived, they held a private religious service in William Withers' home. Now, in the midst of this service, two constables broke in and they arrested the three. Why? For acts of worship. It was a violation of the law to hold any service without the consent of the Congregational Church of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. They went on trial and they were accused, and I quote, that they denied the lawfulness of baptizing infants. A Puritan by the name of John Cotton accused them of soul murder, S-O-U-L, the murdering of the soul, because they denied the saving power of baptizing babies. Well, the three men were given a choice. They could pay a fine or they could receive a whipping. Two men paid the fine, but Obadiah Holmes, that layperson, he chose the whipping. So they carried him to Boston Commons, where his hands were tied to a stake. He was stripped down to his waist. And during the lashing, history tells us that Holmes prayed the Lord would not hold the sin to their charge. He continued to preach all the way through the whipping. And he was so injured by the severity of the beating that he was unable to leave Boston for weeks. He could rest at night only by crouching on his elbows and his knees. But you see, that man, Obadiah Holmes, he stood for freedom. He stood for the right to worship and follow God the way God had convicted his heart. He fought for the right to follow God how he believed. Let me tell you another story. I'm actually going to read it to you. It's another story about freedom. It comes from this book that's in my library called Jesus Freaks. It was produced back in 1999 by a Christian group at that time called DC Talk. This book is filled with stories about martyrs that have gone ahead of you and me that stood for freedom as they strive to follow their God. And the story I want to read for you today is about a young girl named Runken. It's from the 1500s. I found one. The inquisitor held up the forbidden book as he called to his assistant, "Bring in the mayor and his family. Someone is studying the Bible in this house." In the 16th century, Philip II sent the Duke of Alba to Flanders to stamp out the Protestants who insisted on reading the Scripture in their own language, and anyone found studying the Bible was hanged, drowned, torn to pieces, or burned alive at the stake. The inquisitors had found the Bible while inspecting the house of the mayor of Brugge. One by one, family members were questioned, but everyone claimed they knew nothing about how the Bible got into their house. Well, finally, the officials asked the young maidservant, her name was Runken, and she boldly declared, "Sirs, I am reading it." The mayor, knowing the penalty for studying the Bible, tried to defend her, saying, "Oh no, she only owns it. She doesn't ever read from it." But Runken chose to not be defended by a lie. She said, "No, sir, this book is mine. And I am reading from it, and it is more precious to me than anything in the world." She was sentenced to die by suffocation. A place would be hollowed in the city walls. She would be tied inside of it, and the opening would be bricked over, brick by brick. On the day of her execution, as she stood by the wall, an official tried to get her to change her mind, saying, "So young and beautiful, and yet to die," he said. Runken replied, "My Savior died for me. I will also die for him." As the bricks were laid higher and higher, she was warned again, "You will suffocate and die in here. Please change your mind." And she said, "I will be with Jesus." Finally, the wall was finished, except for the one brick that would cover her face. And for the very last time, the official tried to persuade her. "Repent," he said. "Just say the word, and you will go free." But Runken refused, saying instead, "O Lord, forgive my murderers." The brick was put in place, and many years later, her bones were removed from the wall, and she was properly buried in the cemetery in Brugge. You see, friends, all through history, the followers of God and the followers of Jesus Christ, Baptists and many, many others have stood for freedom. And I'm so thankful for Runkin. She had the courage to follow God even though it cost her her life. Where does that leave us this morning? Where does that leave somebody like you and me in the year 2018? Well, here's what I think. I think the answer is straight, and I think the answer is simple. Every individual is responsible to God in matters of faith. We are not responsible to the government. We're not responsible to the state. We're not responsible to the church. You're not responsible to pastors. You're not responsible to seminary presidents. You're not responsible to denominational leaders. You're not even responsible to one another. No, true and genuine faith, friend, is voluntary. You are individually responsible in matters of faith. But in addition, it leaves us here to recognize and know that we indeed are free. We're free to worship, and no one can stop you, and no one should ever even try. And friend, you ought to fight. You ought to fight with all your might if you ever see the freedom trying to be limited for even anyone. We ought to fight for every single faith and every single person. As free and faithful Baptists, let us remember our heritage and work to protect religious liberty for all. So in the words of William Wallace, he would say this to you, dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take away our lives, but they'll never take our religious freedom? Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?